Dan sê gaan ek net vir ons bid. Here, baie dankie. Here, dat U al reeds met ons vanoggend gepraat het, Here. Dankie dat ons harte vol is en vol kan wees, Here, van die vars manna wat U vanoggend vir ons gegee het, Here. Here, dat U besig is om 'n nuwe ding te doen in ons midde en ons harte, Here. Dat U ook vanoggend, Here, ons harte wil op 'n nuwe manier wil aanraak, Here, en ons wil soos ontvanklike studente kom ook vanoggend, Here, en vir U vra kom leer ons, Here. Kom leer ons, Here. Gee vir ons 'n vars noot, Here. Gee vir ons 'n nuwe huppel in ons stap, Here. Leer vir ons daai nuwe danspassie, Here. Wat U vir ons wil leer, Here. Dankie dat ons leeg na U toe kan kom. Here, onsself kan, ons harte kan kom stil maak, ons gedagtes kan kom stil. En vra Here dat U sal kom en dat deur U Heilige Gees vanoggend U sal kom doen wat net U kan doen, Here. Ons wil sommer net Here, ons afhanklikheid. Ek wil my afhanklikheid, Here, opnuut net kom verklaar teenoor U vanoggend, Here. Sonder U is ons woorde leeg, Here. Sonder U as ons net besig met mense praatjies, Here, maar ons het nie tyd vir mense praatjies nie, Here. Ons het nie tyd vir net menslike gedagtes nie. God, we are desperate and we are hungry for You. And Lord, we desire to experience the fullness, the depth, Lord, the wealth of what You have for us in Your word. And so this morning, Lord, I pray that You will come and open our ears, Lord. I pray that You would guide my tongue, Lord, the direction of my thoughts this morning, and that You will continue to have Your way. We honor You for Your presence in our midst, Lord. We thank You that You lead us, Lord, along Your ways, Lord, that lead to everlasting life. And we just want to follow that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, baie dankie, julle lofprys en aanbidding span. As dit right is, my julle breek sommer onder staan. Ek dink julle kan my darm, dink almal kan my sien, hè? So kan as ek, as ek hier onder staan. So, I think we have one or two of our guests this morning, or our, okay, our friends who don't understand Afrikaans. So, I'm going to be ministering mostly in English this morning. Thanks, Kala. Ja, dankie. Broer, ek herken jou nou toe jou masker afhaal toe. It all came back to me. Kon nie die oë so lekker eie nie. Ek en Kala was nie vroeg 90 saam chauffeur gewees in Stellenbosch. En dit is lekker om hier te kan wees vanoggend en om julle allemaal te kan sien. Is lekker om bekende gezichte te sien. En dit is ook heerlik om baie gezichte te sien wat ek nie ken nie, want dit is altijd 'n goeie teken van lewe en van vooruitgang en dat die Here besig is om ongelooflike dinge te doen hier in julle midde. So I'm extremely excited to be here this morning. I bring you greetings from Shofar Somerset West. We have the great privilege, my wife and I, to be based in a local congregation, even though we are on the apostolic leadership, and we love local church. We love being part of a local community. We love being part of a group of people who know us. A group of people who we can call friends and we can journey with them. And so Nikki and the girls, they send their love. We would love to come and just as a family come and spend a weekend here. Thank you to the Van der Merwes for really spoiling myself and Jonathan rotten. We had an amazing time just being with them and laughing. And yeah, so it was even for myself last night, it was just good to go back on my journey a little bit with my wife. I shared with them, I'm such a firm believer of marriage prep, that we prepare ourselves when we get married. My mom always used to say, you know, you would study for 4 or 5 years or longer for your career, and then very often we don't take enough time to study God's principles that He has for a relationship that is going to outlast any career. And so I love marriage prep. My wife and I, we went through it twice. That's how much help we needed. We went through it twice, but we actually... the first time we did it, we were in the same marriage preparation class, but as part of two different couples. Okay, so there you go. So there was my my moment of transparency. So and then we did it again as a married couple, and it was amazing. But yeah, I don't know you that well, so I'm not going to share everything. Okay. there are certain things. But what was amazing was that I'm so thankful to God for His goodness. You know, we We sometimes look at our lives, and I think that word that Christoph brought for Jody, sometimes we put all this pressure upon ourselves to be perfect and to hear God perfectly. You know, when I think of my marriage, I'm so thankful to God. He's blessed me with a woman much more beautiful than I ever thought, you know, would be what I deserved. I still look at Nikki and I think like, man, I feel like Shrek next to her most of the time. You know, she's that beautiful, and there's nothing that I've done to deserve her. In actual fact, when the Lord spoke to me right at the beginning about my wife, I got the name right. Okay, so the Lord told me that my wife is Nikki, that's her name, but I got the face wrong. All right, so I dated a girl who was called Nikki, but it was the wrong Nikki. All right, so yeah, that's how big I missed it. Fortunately, I had a mom who was praying, and she prayed for the right Nikki. All right, so I'm married to the right Nikki today, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful if I look back just to see God's grace upon my life and how He has come and how He has guided us step by step. You know, being in this position even as the apostolic leader of our church family, I'm so aware of the things that I'm not. I'm so aware of the fact that God could have chosen anybody else. God could have put His hand on anybody else's life. But in His wisdom, He put His hand upon me, and He put His hand upon my wife's life, and He asked us to serve our church family in this manner. And the last year, we were praying about, God, do You still want us to do this? Because the last thing that we want to do is, you don't want to overstay your welcome. There's a time to come, and there's a time to go. There are seasons to assignments sometimes that God gives us, and we should never just assume that the thing that the Lord told you 5 years ago is still the same thing that God is telling you today. And that's where that newness comes in as well. God speaks about a fresh manna in Scripture. The Israelites had to go and pick up manna every day. Every day had to be fresh. And so Nikki and I, we just had to pray about, Lord, do You still want us to serve in this capacity, or do You want us to make space for somebody else to come and to lead this church family into the next season that God has for us? And so we took some time out, and that's where the Lord started to speak to me about our ways. He started speaking to me about ancient paths, and the word that I shared with you guys in this week, I believe that most of you guys saw the video. But it was there that God started speaking to me about our ways, roads that we travel on, steps that we take. Because the reality is, as we're sitting here today, some of us drove maybe 5 minutes, and some of you guys drove maybe half an hour. I think a lot of you guys travel from far to come to church. It's a massive blessing. In some of the West, if anything is further than 5 minutes away, people are like, oh no, that's on the other side of town, so we don't so much take the trouble to be there. But one of the things I appreciate about you guys is that you make an effort to get to church, to come together, to celebrate. And different roads have led us here physically this morning. Some of us have traveled from the Berg down here. Some of you, did anybody walk this morning? Somebody close enough? Yeah, a couple of people close enough to walk, or maybe cycled. And so there are different physical roads that led us to this place, to Plantasie Street. But as we are here this morning, there are also physical, or rather spiritual roads which we took. And there are emotional roads which we took. There are relational roads that we took that led us to this moment. None of us were just airlifted here. You know, none of us just dropped here out of thin air. There were journeys that led us here. There were steps that we took. There were crossroads on our journey that if we look back, we will see that had I taken a different route, I probably wouldn't have been here this morning. There were people along the way who put up a stop sign maybe to say, but that's enough now. That's enough wasting your life, throwing your life away. That's enough drinking, or that's enough whatever. And they put up a stop sign. Or maybe God put up a stop sign. And we lost a job, or we maybe even went through a traumatic relational experience. And we had to make certain choices. All of life is about choices. As we are sitting here, there were choices which we made that led us to this moment. And I was just reflecting on that, and I was thinking about the roads that we took. And so we went to the Pilansburg, Nikki and myself. We took about 5 or 6 days. We left the kids at home with someone, and just 5 days of just being alone with each other in the Pilansburg Nature Reserve. And it was amazing. 5 days alone with your wife, that is it's a blessing that doesn't come around often. But I must admit, when we got to the fifth day, I thought here by day three we'd covered everything. You know, I thought that now we'd spoken about everything that there is to speak about, but the amount of words was still the same. Day five and day one, there were still tons of stuff on Nikki's heart. And I just realized how often on our roads, we can be in the same car. I love driving. I love driving up to Windhoek. And oh, by the way, let me just show you that first picture quickly. So also I want to say, who's on the PowerPoint again? Anandi. Anay, good luck, right? Trying to keep up with me. I'm going to jump around, but pray for Anay that she can keep up with me. The first picture there is from our congregation in Swakopmund. Shofar Swakopmund, they send their love. I was there last year. They asked me wherever I go when I ministered another Shofar church, please, to let you guys know they're praying for our churches in South Africa. When I was there 2 years ago, it was just desert sand. There was nothing there, and the Lord had blessed them with this building. They trusted the Lord. They stood in faith, and it's about, I think, we don't want to throw around figures and stuff, but they built the thing cash. We thank God for that. It's just amazing. And they send their love, and they also ask you guys, please, to pray for them. If you have family members in Swakop and don't have a church, please invite them to join our family. And then there's another congregation also in Walvis Bay, and incredible congregation. There we see, go to the next one, myself and Karel and Jan Kort. We went to pay them a visit. Go to the next picture. They are blessed with a wonderful location also in Walvis Bay, and meeting there in the bottom of office building. You'll see just the next one, them worshiping. What's amazing about the congregation, it's a tent-making pastor. He's a doctor, Johannes van Sluis, and he's leading the congregation. It's amazing to see what God is doing there. But I love driving there. I love driving to Namibia. When I cross the border, something happens to my heart rate. It just goes down. It slows down. The cars pick up speed. They drive fast on those roads. But my heart slows down, and it's like kilometers on end. Nothing in front of me, just amazing spaces. And very often, Nikki and myself, we would be driving. And you know, the best thing for me is just being with my wife, just being in the car. And sometimes we'd be driving, an hour would go by, 2 hours, and so forth. And then Nikki would be like, I thought we were going to have like quality time together in the car, but you're so quiet, you're not saying anything. I'm like, this is quality time. You know, just being with you is amazing. But she has a need to speak to me. She has a need to hear what's going on in my mind. And I don't know if any of you guys can relate as husbands and wives, but sometimes, you know, our love languages are different. Sometimes what's an amazing quality time for one is maybe not so amazing. We need to find each other in that. And so going on the Spelansburg trip was incredible because we could just talk, but I also had my alone moments. I could also just leave my wife alone at home. She would read a magazine. I would go driving and just sit and look at the game and stuff. And I trusted the Lord. I said, God, I don't want to leave Pilansburg without seeing a cat. You know, please, I want to see a cat, a big one. I want to be able to say, I went to the Pilansburg and I saw a lion or two. And so I was driving up and down 5 hours, 6 hours. I saw everything except the lion. All right, I saw everything you can imagine. Beautiful, amazing wildlife there. And the last day I was like, oh, man, just yet in my heart. I don't know how many of you guys, sometimes you've got to pray. But in the bigger scheme of things, you know, you also like, I mean, there's a pandemic, you know. There are things going on. We're having to trust the Lord for direction. Are we going to serve in this capacity again? There's a lot of stuff riding on our time being there. Me seeing a cat, I mean, it's not really that big a thing, you know. It's not, I mean, in terms of the needs of 6 or 7 billion people on the face of the planet and stuff happening, I mean, surely God, you know, has got more important things to do than to organize, you know, a cat for me. And so I didn't even verbalize the prayer. I don't know how many of you sometimes you go through that. You're just like, it would just be nice, you know. It would just be nice. It's just something here in my heart. And so, can you show that video? So I come around the corner, and then this little guy comes walking. Now, I was. I didn't see a lion, but I thought it was much better, you know. So what you guys see there is you see the back of the leopard, all right. But I come around the corner. I'm on my way heading to the gate, and as I come around the corner, this little guy comes walking right from the front. I'm rounding the bend, and he comes walking right up to the vehicle. So you see the camera just catching him from behind, because now I'm taking out my phone and I'm leaning out the window, right? And I'm looking at him like, whoa, okay, It's maybe not too clever. So I run up the window quickly, and then I gotta get the camera ready, and so I only catch him as he walks past me. But I had an image of a Japanese tourist or somebody that I saw somewhere. I was leaning out the car, and then it's all sorts of thoughts, you know, just go through my mind. But I was just like, this is amazing. So I just sat there in a moment just of worship, you know, just so something happens to your heart when you're that close to something that amazing. Right? Something that looks that calm, but there's that, you also know that latent energy, that anything can happen at any moment. And God created this amazing animal, and he organized my road, my journey to intersect with this leopard. And I realized something. I'd spent 4 days, 5 days driving, looking for this animal, or for a lion actually. And God had organized something better for me right before I left. And then the Lord started to speak to me about our journeys, our ways, our roads, and how often time we can spend days, weeks, months driving, looking for something in our own strength. And yet God has got this divine appointment organized for us. If we would just allow him to direct our steps, allow him to direct our vehicle, allow him to lead us to the right place, and to trust him that he has that divine connection. That for me, I know when we talk about divine connections, we mostly think in terms of evangelism and those things, but I just realized how God didn't have to do that for me. But he did, because it was something that was special to me. I just had to know in that moment, God, you are looking at me more than just the apostolic team leader who needs to talk to you about the future of Shofar. You're looking at me more than just a husband that is having to look at his own heart and to, because we had some repentance sessions there as well, you know, within those 5-6 days, things that I realized I'd become too busy. I had been missing my wife along the way. And so there was a lot of cleansing, a lot of repentance, and all of those things that had to take place. But even beyond me being a husband, beyond me being a pastor, there was just the me. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Sometimes you just want to be the you. You know, just without the functions, without the responsibilities and all of those things. And you can't always live like that, because that's like how a child lives. Now, a child, I met a little, I think the Lopeshut, a little baby there in the pram. There's no need for that baby to worry about stuff. Mom is looking after him. Dad's looking after him. He can just be a baby. He can drink. He can poop. He can just do what he needs to do, right? Just a baby. He can just relax in being a baby. But we can't remain babies forever, running away from responsibility. But then that word comes like it did this morning. Sometimes the weight of responsibility, the weight of walking the straight and narrow, the weight of figuring things out, the way of carrying our families and carrying our businesses and doing the right thing, doing the godly thing, sometimes even the weight of being a good disciple can become a burden. And maybe you don't even know it, but you have lost your joy. You've lost that spontaneous laugh. You don't laugh at little things anymore. You don't smile at things anymore. You don't enjoy your hobbies anymore. Maybe you don't even know what your hobby is anymore, because things have just gotten so complicated. And for me, it was just such a beautiful moment where God was saying, Heinrich, I want you to slow down, and I want you to trust me in the little things of life again. And so the Lord started chatting to me just about our roads. What are the roads that he's wanting us to walk on? And that's where that word was birthed in my heart, around the ancient paths. And I want to read that for you with that very long introduction. Just to emphasize again what you guys looked at in the sermon that I sent out earlier this month. Thus says the Lord, and the Lord was speaking to me really. He says, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. And what I've come to just realize is that there's a place and a point in our lives where God is wanting to have conversations with us about the ways that we are in, the ways that we are following. And are the ways that we are following, are those ways leading us to finding rest for our souls? And so there's a good way, the Bible says, that if we were to stand in our ways, if you think about your ways, our ways talk about our lifestyle. Right? It talks about my relationships. It talks about how I manage my budget. It talks about how I manage my relationship with my folks, with my children, my family, my colleagues, my ways, my way of living. Sometimes we would talk about somebody losing their way. Yeah? We'd say, that guy's lost his way. He's confused. Christopher and I just spoke about someone we love dearly, just lost his way. And how that person is going to come back to just finding his way again. We need to pray for him. But sometimes things can happen and you lose your way. You can be in a relationship and you're like, man, how did I end up here? How did I get here? How did my heart become so calloused or so hard or so cynical maybe? I lost my way, and then we need to come back and we need to find that way. In church, it's important for us to evaluate our ways. You know, the way that we walk with the Lord, is it still a way of joy? Is it still a way of freedom? Is it still a way of spontaneity? Or did my way become maybe predictable? Because I know this way. I might even know where I'm going to sit Sunday. You know, I know exactly when I'm going to leave. And thank God then for moments when, with all of the pain and all of the challenges of COVID, it disrupts our ways, doesn't it? Now suddenly your way is disrupted because I now need to have a fresh look at my walk with the Lord. I cannot be as dependent on a Sunday maybe as what I was. I cannot be as dependent upon that person to share the word as I was. I need to reevaluate my ways and I need to ask myself, if I continue on this way, will my soul find rest? If I continue on this way, the ways that led you to this moment, Sunday the 14th of March, if you were to continue on the ways that you are on right now, will you like the fruit of your ways? And that's what I had to ask myself. If I run at the same pace in terms of leading our local congregation and leading our biggest Shofar church family, if I continue to do things the way that I am, will I like the result? Will I like the fruit? And the fruit that God has in store for us, I believe, ultimately is a place where our souls can find rest. Karen shared with us Psalm 23. Psalm the Lord shared with me this week. I had a journey with a family who lost their mom all of a sudden. And Psalm 23 just came back to us. He's the one that wants to lead us to those waters of rest. But I don't know about you. Sometimes there are ways that would lead us away from that rest. And the Lord said, Heinrich, I want you to evaluate. I want you to look at. And so I made some changes in my life. I'm reprioritizing certain things. I'm prioritizing family above ministry. I'm prioritizing rest above activity. And you know, sometimes you are, Jonathan and I on our way here, we had just discussion around the neurological pathways in your brain. As you do certain things, you establish certain ways for your brain to follow. Like you brush your teeth and there are certain things that are now completely, it's habit, it's ingrained. Your brain doesn't have to think about it anymore because there's a certain way that you have trained your brain to think. That's why many scientists have shown that using social media, it establishes certain neurological pathways in our brains that releases endorphins and gives us just as big a kick as drugs would. And so you pick up the phone, you start feeling good because your brain associates the phone with good feelings of seeing how other people are living their lives or watching something exciting that's more exciting than your current exam time or more exciting than the challenge that you're having to work through with your wife, and so then you rather watch a Netflix series than engage with a living person. And your brain associates this phone with pleasure and with relaxing thoughts. You've trained your brain to think a certain way. And if you want to change those things, I loved what you said, that you were fasting this month. From just, why do we fast? Because we understand sometimes we need to break certain ways. We need to break certain habits and we need to establish new ones. And that's what God started to speak to me about. And I believe that you as a church, you've been on a journey of evaluating your ways as well. And saying, God, we love a lot of our ways that have led us to be who we are. We love the fact you've made us community. We love the fact that we are committed to each other. We love the fact that we have a safe space that you have given us. I mean, this is a blessing, this building. So many of our brothers and sisters right across the world don't have something like this, that they can call home and you can come to, and you can be encouraged, and you can worship. You know, like this morning, we didn't have to trust the Holy Spirit to show us where we will meet this morning, like some parts of the persecuted church have to. And they can't afford to communicate with each other. They have to trust the Holy Spirit. They will go to the right place at the right time. We don't have to be afraid that somebody's going to come and throw a hand grenade in here and blow up this church. We don't have to be afraid that our young people will be abducted by militia. Many parts of the Christian world live like that. Like, we've got much to be thankful for. And I believe it's the same for this congregation here. But there are certain things the Lord has been challenging you on and saying, evaluate this and evaluate that. And I want to encourage you to continue in that journey. Continue assessing your ways. Continue thinking about how you can be disciple makers, how you can be more connected to your local community. But at the same time, celebrate the journey that you have been on. Celebrate the roads that God has traveled with you. Go back and go back to your journal. I felt in my heart that in this church family, there's a depth of experience. There's a depth of testimony, wealth that God has placed inside of you. And I want to ask you, Shofar Sirius, don't keep that to yourself. When we were meeting here yesterday, I was looking at that world map there at the back, and I just knew in my heart that God would also want to say to you, don't believe the lie that you are isolated and cut off. And don't live like that. There's so much inside of you. God has called many of you for an influence beyond the borders of this town. Don't dream small. Don't think small. I'm so blessed by the fact that many, many years ago when I joined Shofar, we were fewer than what we are in this building in 1994. And even back then, God was challenging us and saying, dream about the nations. I think one of the songs just spoke about the nations as well. Dream about those things. And I want to ask you this morning, what happened to your dreams? What happened to your dreams? So did the complication and the maybe even the complexity and maybe the challenge of being a good disciple and walking a road of discipleship, did that way maybe cause you to lose a little bit of your joy, of your dreams, to just dream again about what is possible with God? What is possible if God were to invade your life? What would be possible if you would be fully surrendered to Him? Because that is where I had to get to. I had to say to God again, God, I want to dream with you again. I want to let go of the burden of leading this church family. I want to let go of having to make this thing work. I want to let go of being so intent on seeing the right thing that I just forget to park along the way and just look. As I was driving there, I caught myself having the radio on. Can you believe it? I'm driving in the national park, and I have the radio on. I mean, how silly can you be? Right? You don't go there to listen to the radio. But it was just a way that I was used to. I'm listening to the radio, I'm listening to music, and even lovely gospel music. And Lord, just switch that thing off, wind down your window, and listen to nature. Listen. And I know you guys are in touch with nature around here. You're not like the city slickers. You know, but maybe there's some other noise. We were praying earlier this morning, and we felt that the Lord wanted to just silence the noise. You know, maybe there's noise of condemnation, noise of shame, noise of this is who I am not, this is all my mistakes, this is who we are not, this is all our mistakes, that we forget to hear what God is wanting to say to us. Because what I love about that verse is it starts off and it says, thus says the Lord. Saints, how is it going with your thus says the Lord moments? Thus says the Lord. Are you in a place where you are at right now because you have a conviction that you are here because it was in response to a thus saith the Lord moment? And I know that most of us, as we're in this room, we know that we have that witness in our heart. But you know, God doesn't just want to speak to us 5 years ago. He wants to consistently speak to us. Thus says the Lord. And for me, I had to just wrestle with myself and say, Heinrich, don't ever settle for thus said the Lord. That's amazing. That's good. That's powerful. It anchors us. It roots us. Like Nikki and myself, when we joined Shofar in ministry in 2003, you know, we said that we want to serve this church family. And so they asked me to be the Bible school registrar. Then they asked me to lead Shofar Pretoria and then Shofar Johannesburg. And then they asked us to lead the Shofar family. And each moment when the request came, it was settled in our hearts that we had already said yes to being servants.
Whether I serve as a pastor, whether I serve as an apostolic team member or leader, it's immaterial to me. I've said yes to being a servant because God said, I'm sending you to serve this church family. The manifestation of that is almost immaterial to me. What's the best way I can serve? And I'm basing that upon a word that God gave me to serve. But now constantly I need to have a fresh word to understand how does that manifest? How does it manifest in my life? And I want to ask you, how's it going with you? Thus saith the Lord. Old King James translation. Thus saith the Lord. How's it going with those moments in your life? That freshness, the fresh manner. And the word that God is speaking to me about is rest. Enter into my rest. Fight for your rest. Rest, you would think it would just happen. It would be the easiest thing to do, to rest. But it's not. And I'm not talking about doing nothing. That sometimes isn't rest. I don't know how many of you have maybe experienced you just want to do nothing, but then you feel more exhausted afterwards. You know, rest is something that feeds your soul. Rest is something that rejuvenates you and refreshes you. And it looks different for each one of us. But I found that one of the most powerful battles happens to me on a Friday that I've set aside to be my Sabbath day. Then there are all sorts of things that come against my schedule and crises and things. And if I don't plan, if I'm not vigilant, then I lose that moment. I need to fight for it. That's a word that the Lord gave me. What are you having to fight for? What are you fighting for that word? Because you know what? I want to finish the race well. I want to finish the race well. Part of the reason why traveling to Namibia is always so special to me and going to Swakop and going to Walvis Bay, is that's where I grew up as a little boy. It's part of the Dutch Reformed Church where my dad was a minister and we went there. And it's so amazing for me to still today meet people who were in his kids' church and who were part of the youth and the elders in those congregations in the Dutch Reformed Church, still going strong. Some of them have moved on to other congregations. But to see the fruit of his labor. And then to spend time with them again and to hear that they're now 70, 76, 74, they still have dreams. They still have things that they trust in God for. They still want to accomplish things. They're still hoping and trusting that God will use them. And I think that's how I want to finish my life. I don't want to burn out along the way. I don't want to become cynical. I don't want to give up on church and give up on God's promises. I want to finish well. But then I need to rest well. And I need to prioritize that. And I say to the Lord, Lord, it's such a simple word. Everyone knows that they need a rest. But are we? Are we resting? Are we resting in the Lord? Are we allowing Him to speak to us? If you look at that verse, you will see that that verse is a conversation. Right at the beginning, it says, thus says the Lord. And then finishes with, but they said, we will not listen. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, Father, how many conversations, I mean, even right now as I'm ministering to you, how many conversations are going on in this room right now? You know, I almost feel like, Christoph, like you said earlier, we can must stop. I want to release you to just finish your conversation with God. Where are you in this spectrum where the Lord said something to you, you actioned on what He said to you, or you ended on? Most of us don't say this to the Lord. I don't know anybody. That was quite bold from the Israelites. Like it says there that they said, they expressly said, we will not listen. Now, I don't know how many of you guys are that brave. And when the Lord says something, you're like, stuff it. I'm not going to do it. But what I found with some people is that we maybe don't say that with our words, but our actions actually say that. And you know what God is after? God is after our hearts, isn't He? So He's not too concerned really in a certain way. He's not really too concerned with what happens here on a Sunday in a certain aspect with regards to how high I put up my hands and how loud I sing and how loud I say amen and all of those things. It's good for us. Now, God doesn't need our worship, does He? It's good for us to worship God. It changes us. It helps us to reconnect with who God is, and it sets us free to worship Him and to worship Him passionately. And it's good for us sometimes just to say amen because we agree. We put out our faith, but that doesn't change God and doesn't impress God either, us coming to church. But God is interested in the conversations that He is having with us. What is the conversation that God is having with you? And what is your response to that conversation? What is your response to it? For us as a church family, God has been speaking to us again, saying, trust me for the nations. Trust me to plant churches. Trust me for the harvest to come in. I've taken you through a period of healing and relational healing, but now I want you to dream again about the nations. And we're experiencing amazing blessing and so many new groups being planted, and it's incredible. But that's on our church family level. But individually, what is God saying to you? Maybe there's a letter that the Lord challenged you to write to your dad. Maybe a visit to your grandmother, or maybe just some things that you had to burn. I for years, had a box of letters that I kept. You know, my high school sweetheart, right? A girl that I fell in love with when I was in grade 8. Now grade 9 when we moved to Uppington from Beaufort West. And I fell in love with her, and she was just like, you know, sometimes you have that she was in grade 11, so she was 2 years older than I was. And I was just like, she's always like out of reach, you know, just like. So I'm most daydreaming. And I remember one day I'm driving with my dad down to Cape Town from Uppington. And I'm sitting at the front with him, and he invited me to sit at the front. And I put my my Walkman on, put a cassette in, put my earphones on. And, you know, so we arrived here in Cape Town. My dad was like, that was a bit of a waste, you sitting here at the front. I was just daydreaming. I was just thinking of this girl the whole time for 800 kilometers. You know, I was just thinking of this girl. I haven't even spoken a word to her yet. But in my mind, there were just like all sorts of beautiful stories and things going on. But in any case, long story short, we eventually did start speaking. And we just had a beautiful friendship. But I always hoped for more, you know. And then I went to Stellenbosch University. She went to Potchefstroom. And then this one day, my mom comes into the room and says, just had a call. Liesl was on a motorbike with someone, didn't have a helmet on, motorbike accident, and she died. You know, and I'm like, oh yeah. So I heard what she said, but I also didn't hear what she said. You know, I was like, I've got to study for exams, and are you going to go up for the funeral? Like, no, I've got to study for the exam. And a couple of months later, I went to visit her folks, and I walked into her room. And the room was just the way I remember it. It didn't change anything. A bed was full of those teddy bears. And it still smelled like I know that she smelled. And it got me. And I just broke and I cried and I went to the grave. And I could say goodbye. But for years, I still kept our correspondence. Kept the letters that we wrote. And the Lord was just speaking to me constantly. Just, you've got to burn those things. I'm like, it's just letters, you know, but it wasn't. It bound me to, emotionally, it bound me to someone. There was nothing wrong with her, but it was that tie between us. And by that stage, I'd known my wife. We were good friends. But my eyes actually opened up after I burned those letters. I took that shoebox, said, God, I thank you for that friendship. I thank you for everything that Liesl meant to me. But I let go of those dreams, those unfulfilled dreams. And God, I'm sorry for being angry with you, for taking her from me. I was actually deep down, I was angry. The Lord wanted me to finish that conversation with Him. And it was such seemingly an insignificant conversation. It's just letters that were in a little shoebox. But it set in motion things that now have impacted my life with my wife and our children. That had I not finished that conversation with the Lord, who knows? So I want to ask you, can you afford not to finish your conversation? Because if it's just me talking to you, it's one thing. I call me so, jy gaan my nou nie weer sien vir 'n rukkie nie. Hopelik kan ek bietjie meer gereeld weer kom. But whatever you do with what I say to you, it's neither here nor there. But you can't treat God's word like you treat my words. You can't treat God's word like you treat Christoph's words or your husband or your wife's words. If it's God speaking, then surely He demands of us to continue the conversation. And so the Lord was just busy working with my heart and just saying, Heinrich, forget about all the conversations you are having with people and all of those things. Have them, but become quiet so that ek en jy a lekker chat kan hê. Many years ago, I used to just to freshen things up for my life because I grew up in church, grew up in a house where my parents loved the Lord. But I just had to bring renewal to my own walk with the Lord. And so the Lord just led me to do something in the mornings as I would get up. I would put some cereal in two bowls, one for myself, one for the Lord. And I'd take the Bible and we would sit down and we would have breakfast. And I'd say, thank you, Jesus, for coming this morning. It's good to be with you. And we would have good conversations. I had to make it practical. You not just have it all in my head. I had to make it practical. I had to engage with the Lord by faith. Some of you need to just go and walk again, you know, or go for that drive again, or do whatever you need to do. Mostly it doesn't work that well if you stay lying on your back talking to the Lord. I know some of you can do it. I can't. I fall asleep. You know, I need to get up. I need to do something. And the beautiful thing about having breakfast with Jesus is you can have your breakfast and His. Right? He loves sharing, you know, so it's amazing. When I went to the States and I was having to get used to getting into another part of the car, you know, as you drive, I would just invite Jesus in there as well and wait for Him to buckle up and, you know, and then we would drive and have our conversations. Because I just realized I cannot treat Him like this airy fairy being that only exists on Sundays. I had to get practical and I had to get real with Him. If I truly believe that He exists and that He speaks to me, then I have to get real with Him. And so maybe God is just wanting to say to some of us this morning, get real. Get real. Stop being so religious that you religialize Jesus out of your life. Get real with Him. Maybe get another Bible with another translation. Read it in English if you read it in Afrikaans. Read it in Afrikaans if you read it in English. But do something to bring the spontaneity back. And say, Jesus, thank you for your voice and for speaking to me. Christopher, I don't know when I started, so I don't know when I must finish. Oh, you don't have a finishing time. When I look at that, let me show you this picture quickly that someone shared with me in 2017. We were in the Philippines and attending this conference. And if you can show that painting. Yeah. I don't know whether I showed this to you guys when I was here the last time. But I met this group of intercessors and we were just going there and we were just praying for Indonesia. We were, some of my forebearers as slaves came from those islands in some of the West area. We've got an area called Makassar. That's where the first Muslim sheikh was relocated. Thank you. Relocated from Indonesia. He was a rebel against the Dutch government, and so Indonesia was under Dutch control as well. So when you go to Indonesia, there are words like polisi and pisang and parkering and all sorts of things like in the Indonesian language, which they inherited from Dutch as well. And so we were just journeying around our legacy of South Africa, how the Muslims came to South Africa, the Muslim faith, and trusting the Lord to lead us to minister to them. What's amazing about the believers there, they talk about the sons of Ishmael instead of the Muslims. You know, it gives it a different flavor. You hear Muslim, you think of somebody who will never get saved. You think maybe of a terrorist. You think of all sorts of things, you know, in our minds that we need to challenge. And they talk about the sons of Ishmael. And they are just passionately praying for those people, loving them. They're coming to the Lord in their thousands. So I want to encourage you, God is doing amazing things. But somebody there, as intercessor, gave this painting to me. And she said that she prayed for South Africa. And this is what she saw. She saw this wave just hitting Africa, and especially the southern part of Africa, and this massive wave of revival coming, and the lion of Judah roaring and releasing a sound that sounds like the sound of the shofar. You know, and so when we started talking, and I told her we're from a church called Shofar, she was like, no way, I need to show you this painting. that the Lord showed me. And you will see there that that's the music teacher here amongst them. The notes are there. And then there's the menorah, the candlesticks that speaks about the Lord's anointing, saying he's releasing a sound of salvation. He's releasing songs of salvation over Africa and over the continents of the world. And that there are nations. There are nations, men and women from every tribe and tongue that need to see the way to Jesus. You see this little guy standing there and he's pointing the way to the lion. Saying, I'm not the lion. I'm not your savior. God is. And so for Sirius, I believe that God has given us as a church family a sound. A sound. Our songs, when we sing to release something in the atmosphere, something over ourselves that go beyond this building, beyond your current circumstances. A sound that will stir something in our nation. That will turn people's hearts to the Lord. We got our little girl, Kate Rose. She is the most amazing shofar blower I know. The shofar, I don't know how many of you guys have tried to blow the shofar. It can humble you, right? The shofar can humble even the most confident of people. All right, you put all your effort in there and there's a little sound that comes up. Little Kate, she's now 9. She takes that thing and she blows it, right? Everything shakes and quivers around her. And so we thought that lung capacity must be good for something. And so we said, let's channel that. And so we got her a saxophone. And now she is blowing the saxophone at home and driving us all crazy. And the neighbor across the road, he knows there's somebody in the house letting to play the saxophone as well. But I was so touched by her passion for wanting to learn this instrument. Now she's got the moves. She's seen now that if you play the saxophone, you can't be like all uptight. You know, you've got to... You know, you've got to have it. You know, you've got to have the one foot there and you've got to, you know, and she doesn't care about what people think of her. She has this lung capacity. She sings all the time. She sings when she goes to the bathroom. She sings to when she goes to the other side of the house. There's always this sound coming from her. So her lungs are so well practiced. You know, top of her lungs and her voice, she's just throwing herself into this. And I'm thinking, man, there's something of that that I've lost. And I told myself the other day, you definitely need to smile more, buddy. You know, you cannot afford to just grow old. And I want to say to you, Shofar Church family, let's passionately give the Lord our lungs. Sê, Here kom, as mos 'n mooi vers, na iewers in Psalms, wat sê, wat die Here sê, maak jou mond wyd oop, en ek sal dit vul, iets in daai lyn. Now, I want to open up my mouth so that God can fill it. Can fill it. And so there are just two things I want you to remember. How's it going with your conversation with the Lord? Your conversation, not the person you think should have been in church this morning to hear this word. Your conversation. But you hear him at Yovale, right? Not with your boss, or you're going to share this word with somebody else and they need to finish some conversations, but you can see the... What's the conversation God is wanting to have with you? Like with this pastor, Lord, we're just saying, forget about the sermon you're wanting to preach again. Just like, I want to talk to you. How's your conversation? And how's your song? How's your conversation? And how's your song? Are you singing? Yeah, what's coming out of your heart? Yeah, and just that. That's what I feel I get to make you let the deal van ochtend. And I shall feel a little bit, asseblief. Can you understand? Thank you, Lord. Maybe Karen, if you guys can come. I told some of our band guys, I would love for us just to sing more hymns. And so I see we've got We Exalt Thee. Do we have We Exalt Thee? Yeah. God, we exalt thee this morning. There's something about the hymns that carries with it, eh? Some of those ways that we traveled. And the ways that believers traveled right throughout the centuries with God. I've been reminded again that we are not alone. I've been reminded that we are not the first people to go through tough times. That the church is resilient. There's one word that I think of when I think of you guys here. I think of resilience. Is it makkelijk om te boer nie? It's not easy to have the lifestyle that many of you guys have, your dependency upon the Lord, but you are resilient. I spoke to someone here and said he was at school with a lot of you guys here in church. I thought, wow, that's amazing. To have friendships that last that long. I don't know if you know how big a blessing that is and how rare that is. As we were praying yesterday, I felt that there's, maybe might not feel that spiritual, but I felt the Lord saying that one of the most beautiful, powerful gifts that He has given this church is the gift of friendship. Gift of friendship to demonstrate to the world what friendship can be like. There are people so alone out there. And maybe you wonder, is it possible to have a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Years ago, I saw this slogan across a taxi. When days are dark, friends are few. I don't know if you, some of you guys have seen. When days are dark, friends are few. And you know what? That's sometimes the unfortunate reality where people are living. When days are dark, their friends are few. May it be a different reality here. Amen. Because dark days do come. Lonely days do come. Some of you might have watched the Meghan and Harry debacle interview thing. We all have different opinions on it. But one of the things that stood out for me was just how incredibly lonely they were. Having everything raised in the palace, all of those things. And people are like, oh, you just want to destroy this and that. And how can you throw this away? Those things couldn't satisfy a longing to be known and to be accepted as you are. When you can't smile for the cameras anymore and you just need someone to say it's okay. God is the only person who knows us just as we are and loves us the same. May our friendships reflect something of that. Father, I want to pray for this beautiful church. And Father, I know why my heart is feeling this, but I just feel, Lord, that You want to give this church the lonely. You want to send the lonely, Lord. You want to send those who don't fit in. But You also want to send those, Lord, who feel or who look and who sound like they don't need anything. But there are dark places in their heart that they are having to go through alone. So Lord, when we ask You for Your light to shine, we sometimes don't know what we are asking. Because when it shines, it exposes things. And I just feel that You are asking us whether we will stand in the ways with someone when the light shines and darkness gets exposed. Or whether we will run away or ignore or put up an excuse. So there are courageous people who will stand in the way with someone and who will look and search and ask for the good way. It's the good way of friendship. It's not the most spiritual thing. It's not the most amazing sounding thing, but I feel God is saying that it's the most Christ-like thing, where Jesus only had one friend at the cross, one guy that He could say to, look after my mom, I'm going away and I can't shelter her anymore and I can't look after her anymore. Look after her. And when Jesus went to a friend who stabbed Him in the back and invited Him for a bride, and said, just come, let's have a conversation. I still want to journey with You. I still want You to feed my flock. Father, I ask for that portion for this church. pray, Lord, they will finish the conversation of friendship. Friendship with you, that they would just invite you to breakfast. They would invite you into the car. They would invite you onto the bike. They would invite you into the field. They would invite you behind the screen. They would invite you into this, into the bedroom. And just have a conversation. And then I ask, Lord, for the conversations that are going to take place here. I just see this long table. This love feast table. This long table. And all these conversations taking place around this table. In the spirit. Father, I want to speak silence to the voices of accusation, condemnation, division, and shame in Jesus' name. We silence you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, I ask that through your Holy Spirit, you will open ears to hear what you are saying. To hear each other. Speak a silence to the storms, Lord. Thank you for the courage to switch off the radio, to roll down the window, and to listen. With all of us, Lord, all of our hearts, I just want to extend my faith with you. I'm on this journey still. I'm not preaching this from a position of getting this right all the time. I'm just sharing with you my heart. But if you can relate, be it with your conversation with God, or your conversation with a brother or a sister, spiritual or physical, then just want to raise your hand so I can just pray with you. Lord, we raise our hand this morning, Lord, and we say, Father, we take ownership of our hearts. We take ownership, Lord, of the unfinished conversations. We take ownership, Lord, of walking away from some tough conversations that you were having with us. We take ownership, Lord, of walking away from some conversations that we had with each other or we need to have with each other. And we take ownership, Lord, of the quietness of our songs, the silence. The dust that is gathered, Lord, on our shofar, figuratively speaking. And I ask that you will do, Lord, for this church, what you did for Kate, Lord, and you will give them that brand new saxophone. A joy in learning, discovering a new sound. I thank you for these hands, Lord, and I just sense you gripping these hands like you grabbed Peter's hand while he was sinking. We sang the song, when darkness has a hold on us, or something like that. You have a hold on us. You have gripped this church, Lord. And I just see our hands locked into Jesus' hand, and our other hand locked into each other's hands. So Father, thank you. I honor you. I take the shoes off my feet, Lord, in spirit this morning. I thank you for the burning bush of your presence, of your voice, and with everything inside of us, Lord. With hands raised high, we just want to exalt you. In Jesus' name.